opportunity to ask questions. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Maurice Oldendorff, CEO. Go ahead, please, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, all, and thank you for calling in. This is the investor presentation of the results first half 2020. In a separate press release, we've announced this morning that the supervisory board has decided that the CFO, Pieter Voeger, will leave the bank. As a result of that, I will do the investor presentation. And I will be escorted, so to say, by the investor relations team, headed by Jacob Boska, and by Kasper Rozeboom, Director of Accounting, Reporting and Control, in order to be able to answer all your questions that you might have after my initial presentation. Thank you again for calling in. Of course, applies to all banks, to all types of industries, but of course also to all people. We have been impacted during the first half of this year by the COVID-19 crisis. However, we believe that the Volksbank shows a very robust progress on its shared value ambition, with growing appreciation for our mission of banking with a human touch. A mission which, especially in these times, these difficult times from a humanitarian point of view, but also from an economic point of view, resonates with our clients and we believe with society. I will come back to that a bit more in detail later. But of course, you've also seen that the net profit, 106 million, reflects a 31% decrease compared with the first half of 2019, driven by higher impairment charges, but still leading to a 6.2% return on equity, which fits within our overall coloring of the results being robust. To start with a few aspects of our Banking with the Human Touch mission, we've been able, in line with what other banks has done, to support our clients in these sometimes difficult times. Where necessary, we offer them a payment holiday up to 6 months. At the end of June, the total number of clients that we have been able to offer that payment holiday stands at roughly 1,700. And also SME customers, as you know, we only focus on the small sized customers, were given the opportunity to take a payment holiday of up to 6 months. And at the end of June, roughly 300 customers took that opportunity to do so. What is very important, that we have been able to continue our operations throughout also the severe lockdown period. Practically all our SNS shops remained open. Initially only on an appointment only basis. ASN Bank and BLG Wonen remained fully operational, and the Regiobank branches continued their services with additional measures or adapted opening hours. It's fair to say that next to the impact the COVID crisis has had on clients and society, of course there has been also a huge impact on employees, on staff. People have to work, as we say, from the iron board or from the bed with their clients hanging on their legs. That has asked a lot from people, but we've been able to continue our operations almost without any interruption. And we're very grateful to all the dedication and hard work that our staff has shown during these difficult times. As you know, responsibility for the society is a very important part of our shared value approach, reflected in two performance indicators. I would like to explicitly mention the climate neutral balance sheet. We've made good progress and achieved our 2020 target of 45% already by mid-year 2020 by reaching a 48% climate neutrality of the balance sheet. that was very much driven by loans provided for three offshore wind farms, two biofermentation projects, and a biomass plant. The largest part of our assets relates to retail portfolio of mortgages, and we calculate the CO2 that comes with the ownership of the house. There we have seen a small decrease in CO2, mainly due to the inclusion of current emission factors, and that will be a constant focus in our day-to-day work to talk to clients and make them willing to turn their houses more into climate neutral and energy saving livings. It was 15th of July 2020. We know, of course, that is not the first half of the year, but still we think it's worthwhile mentioning that the Volksbank successfully issued a 500 million of subordinated Tier 2 green bonds, the first bank in Europe to do so. And we believe that bond issue has been a great success in terms of subscription, pricing, and elements related to that. Long-term objectives. When we defined our long-term plan end of 2015, we also set ourselves long-term objectives related to customer-weighted non-performing score, net promoter score, current account customers, the financial confidence barometer, climate neutrality of the balance sheet, genuine attention for the employee, and return on equity. And on slide 6, it's presented that with the exception of the return on equity, we've almost met everywhere our long-term objectives, and that underscores why we believe that the first half of 2020 has shown a robust result from that shared value approach. Commercial developments, client satisfaction, presented through the net promoter score, improved to +5, an all-time high. What is maybe even more important is that we are in the sixth consecutive year of improvement of that net promoter score. Sometimes small changes are statistically not significant, but if you look at the development of the customer weighted average over time, it's clear that there's a strong trend visible, and we're very, very happy with that because it's the client satisfaction that counts most. Increase in current account customers driven is the driving force behind our customer growth. We have set ourselves a target of 1.5 million current account customers by the end of 2020. We've passed the 1.6 million by the end of June, and we do see a continued growth week after week after week, with a market share amongst the new current accounts of 20%, which shows that in portfolio terms, we keep on growing our market share in a very consistent way. There are always elements that play a role in the development of the customer base. In the first half of 2020, we decided to terminate saving deposits at one of our brands, BLG Wonen, which led to a reduction of 15,000 savings customers. But by and large, the trend of the growth of the client base continues to be robust. We've seen, fortunately, a slight increase in the retail mortgage portfolio. That is also our ambition. There were always redemptions, but we would like to keep the production above the level of redemptions in order to grow the portfolio. The mortgage market is a highly competitive market with institutional investment money behind it from as well the Netherlands as abroad. an increased focus that continued in the first half of 2020 on the longer maturities, where traditionally banks don't find their core competitive strength. So despite this increased competition, which has reflected itself in a drop of market share for the banking sector in new production, we are pleased that we were able to increase the portfolio more than the size of the redemptions. That size of the redemptions is very high, which was a reflection of the overall redemptions in the mortgage market. It seemed as if people were sitting at home and took the advantage of reconsidering their current mortgage, and the level of redemptions for that reason increased. And we've seen historical high levels of this in the Dutch mortgage market. The interest rate renewals increased to 1.7 billion, also a high amount, mainly again driven by those higher early renewals. And the share of early renewals was around 33%, a very high percentage. As I said, given the competitive forces in the Dutch mortgage market, there has been a decrease in the market share of new retail mortgage productions compared to the first half of 2019. Compared to the second half, it stabilized. In terms of portfolio percentage, it stabilized. Despite the fact that this percentage is of new production is lower than our portfolio, we still saw the volumes increasing because of the characteristics of that market in the first half of this year. Very extreme developments have been observed in the retail savings market due to COVID crisis and the measurements taken by government to support income of those who needed that. There hasn't been a drop of income during the first half of 2020. However, people were, as a result of the lockdown, not able to spend the same amount of income. Hence, we've seen a strong increase, 2.1 billion of the retail savings balances. As this increase was visible basically with all banks, it's an industry-wide trend. Market share stayed stable at 10.4%. As you know, we have a interest rate pricing policy where we continue up to 25,000 euros at least until the end of this year to compensate clients with 1 basis point. This aspect, of course, has a negative impact on the interest rate development, that interest income development that I will come back to in a minute. The financial results and the outlook. The net profit lower at 106 million. If we take a helicopter view as far as the profit and loss account, we were able to maintain income levels compared to the first half and second half of last year, a slight increase, but it is mainly a result of the income that was coming out of prepayments on the redemptions of mortgages, early renewals of mortgages, and good results in the treasury. And those results were, to a very large extent, linked to the high levels of liquidity that we are able to maintain at the moment. Costs, operating expenses were well under control. Compared to the second half of last year, a slight decrease. Compared to the first half of last year, a slight increase, but that is all explainable if we take a few one-off items into consideration. And then the most important element of our profit and loss were the impairment charges, where we've seen an increase to 45 million. The impairment charges are obviously IFRS 9 based, expected loss related to monetary economic scenarios, and we have adjusted our macroeconomic scenarios downward in the first half of 2020, and then these impairment charges were a result of that. But all in all, good total income, albeit partly incidental, good cost control, increase of impairment charges leading to a net result of 106 million, 6.2% return on equity at a relatively very high average level of equity to be added. Focusing a little bit more on income in detail, net interest income roughly stable, net fee and commission income a healthy increase. Martijn will say a few things about the strategy development going forward, but it speaks for itself that given the pressure on net interest income, the net fee and commission income is expected to continue to grow further. And investment income results on financial instruments are related to the treasury I mentioned before. So all in all, a robust income picture with underneath pressure on net interest income, reflected also in a net interest margin of 1.35 percent point, which is 5 percent point lower than the first half, but even 1% higher than in the second half. Operating expenses, well under control. Staff cost, reflecting the largest part of our cost base, remained stable. You can find a few explanations in the movements first half, second half in the presentation. The cost income ratio improved, in our case, adjusted for regulatory levies to 55.8%. Our long-term target, although it's not a key performance indicator, but a performance indicator, is 50 to 52%. And it's very unlikely that we will meet that percentage due to the pressure on net interest income. Loan impairments, 45 million. The breakdown you find on page 16. What I would like to stress here is that the quality of the retail mortgage portfolio is very healthy. We've seen a continuation of lowering average loan to value. The composition of the portfolio has changed. The percentage of interest only mortgages is decreasing month after month. The loan to value at Initian is limited to 100%. On average, we're at 64%. The criteria from an income perspective have been sharpened. Fiscal subsidies have dropped over the last few years. And even more important, the way we relate to our clients at the moment in time that we can foresee that there are issues in their payment behavior has improved tremendously, which all in all leads, according to our conclusion, to a situation where we can speak of a very healthy, well-controlled retail mortgage portfolio, which is another reflection of the robustness of the capital position of and the risk position of the Volksbank. In the base scenario, you can find a few macroeconomic parameters. We do expect a lowering of house prices in 2021, and of course an increase in the unemployment rate to 6%, increase in the number of bankruptcies. These are all elements in the models that lead to, in the end, the total of impairment charges. Based on IFRS, this is all what we expect. If we have to adjust the macroeconomic scenarios downward, then of course these numbers will have to be adjusted as well. We have indicated that a 100% down scenario, where we take a truly pessimistic view, would lead to an additional 53 million of provisioning, which we would of course easily be able to cater for. On page 17, you find the impact of COVID-19 on loan impairment charges and the IFRS 9 stage allocation. You're familiar with how these rules and regulations work. It is manageable. It speaks for itself that we have seen an increase in stage 2 and stage 3, especially also the stage 3 coverage ratio increased to 9.2%. But again, given the impairment charges we've taken and the overall robustness of the portfolio, we are convinced that this is not a concern. Reflected also in very high Capital One, Core Tier 1 capital ratios. At the end of 2019, we distributed a one-off 250 million capital to our shareholder, NLFI, which is shown in the drop of the Core Tier 1 ratio from 37.1 to 32.6. And during the first half of this year, we have been able to already partly compensate for that. It stands at 33.8, and total, including total capital Tier 2, 33.9. As you know, our target is a 19% Core Tier 1, so we're way above that. If we take into consideration Basel IV impact, that would, in our case, fully phased in, lead to a pro forma Capital One ratio of 24%, still way above the 19 that we've set ourselves as a long-term target. We decided about the dividend 2019 and didn't pay out that dividend. So it is presented as an obligation, as a liability on the balance sheet. The 165 million ready to pay is not part of our Core Tier 1 any longer. Of course, we've understood the recommendation from the ECB to further postpone the payment of dividend from October 2020 to January 2021. How would it work in case we would permanently not pay out? We would have to ask the shareholder to increase capital, which we think would, from a capital perspective, a rather odd question to ask. Hence, we will discuss firstly with NLFI and secondly with ECB whether they are also of the opinion that we should follow their recommendation given the current strength of our capital base. If so, we will do. However, we will take the opportunity to discuss the implications of the recommendation for the Volksbank, and if we decide after their approval to pay out the dividend, we will inform you accordingly. The outlook. Of course, we expect a contraction of the gross domestic product by 6% this year, followed by a relatively strong recovery of 4% in the next year. Unemployment will rise above 6%. House prices are expected to fall, and that all leads, within our macroeconomic scenario, to the provisioning, the impairment charges we've taken. We expect, and that I think is the main message, part of our outlook, the pressure on our net interest income to continue and to increase in the course of 2020. The fierce competition on the market will continue to put the margins under pressure. At the same time, the growing level of deposits, combined with our pricing policy, puts pressure on the margins of the saving deposits as well. On the 1st of September, we will introduce, in line with the market, a negative interest rate of 0.5 percent point for non-retail deposits. And given this continued pressure on net interest income, Martijn, as the incoming CEO, responsible for the development of the new strategic plan, will of course consider the appropriate measures needed to counter-attack the net interest income decrease as a result of the two markets, the trends I've referred to. All things considered, we expect the net profit for 2020 as a whole to be considerably lower compared with 2019, but that I think speaks for itself. I would like to end by saying that the two elements in our strong philosophy, banking with the human touch, bankieren met de menselijke maat, and beter voor elkaar, how did we translate beter voor elkaar again in English?
Better for each other.
Better for each other.
Sounds even
better. Are in our minds and hearts. We've been able to work on the basis of that mission with the best interest we have been able to put on the table in, on a further development of the financial services, and we've been pleased with the fact that clients and society have increasingly welcomed that approach. I've been grateful for the opportunity that I've been given to contribute to that, and I have a lot of trust in the future under the strong leadership of Martijn. Thank you, and we now would like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star one now on your telephone. Your questions will be answered in the order that they are received. So for your questions or remarks, please press star one now. Go ahead, please. Our first question is from Mr. Cor Kluis of ABN AMRO. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Cor Kluis, ABN AMRO. Marusta, thanks for all. And it's, the company improved a lot over the last few years. A few questions. Maybe first a financial question on the net interest income. Could you give an idea of the prepayment penalty size in H1? Because it seems that the net interest income has been supported somewhat by that. That's a financial question. More than a strategic question, maybe for Martijn. Maybe you can give already your first insights. And of course, the company wants to go more for diversification of revenue streams. Maybe you can give some qualitative comments on that. And to grow more in the SME segment, for example. So maybe that would be appreciated. And last question is about going negative in savings accounts. You are clear, of course, that this year you don't want to go negative for savings accounts for retail clients. However, you see now, of course, an increase of savings deposits because clients move more to Volksbank. Year to date, I think 6% growth in half a year already. Could you give a little bit more idea about maybe 2021 or maybe kept it at a certain level? We see that other banks kept it at 1 million to 2.5 million euros. Maybe also in that respect, do you have accounts which are higher than 1 million, for example? Those are my questions.
Okay, Cor, thank you very much. The prepayment penalties were roughly 50 million in the first half of 2019, roughly 25 million in the second half, and they moved up to slightly over 30 million in the first half of 2020. So we do see a trend which is obviously not going to continue. I dare to expect that this trend will decline, will change in the second half of 2020. Unfortunate for Martijn, but you can be sure that we don't manage these trends. This is a market given.
We wished.
I will answer the third question first and then hand over to Martijn. First of all, we're happy, and that is a sincere remark, that clients increasingly deposit their savings with us, because that is the role we play. And we've also said that we don't want to say the negative implication of that in terms of liquidity should turn into a problem for the client. At the same time, we have a shared value approach, and a sound business model comes also with a sound return on equity, sound profitability, out of which you pay dividend to your shareholder. And we have to balance those two. For this year, we've been very clear about our pricing policy. It's too early to say something about the pricing policy for next year, but it's obviously an integral part of the strategic reorientation, which takes place under the leadership of Martijn. So we can't be precise today what it means, but we need to balance the different shareholders in their value creation. And we are very much aware of the fact that clients would not appreciate a negative saving rate. We've been investigating that extensively. At the same time, a sound business model with a good profitability is also in their interest. And how that turns into the strategic refocus under the leadership of Martijn will now be commented by Martijn.
Oh, thank you. First, my name is Martijn Gripnow. In the US, I always share, please don't pronounce my last name because it sounds like a throat disease. So you can call me anyway, my character will not change. A little bit of context before I answer the question. Already in 2014, I informed a few people in the Netherlands that there was only one bank I would be willing to come back and to work for, and it's this bank, because I, although Maurice and I are significantly different, or as he would say, 360 different, we believe in the same core values, and that is the mission of this bank. So I just wanted to say that, and I want to thank Maurice to basically set in stone banking with, you know, in the minds, banking with a human touch. On the mortgage side, yes, on the savings side, yes, we want to balance the value we give and we get from our four most important stakeholders. If I zoom in into the two stakeholders, customers and shareholders, and you see a low for long, it's unavoidable that we have to rethink and develop measures to compensate for the declining interest. So we will do that. How those measures will be visualized themselves, I don't know yet. I just jumped in the strategic planning process. But measures will be taken. However, we want to be very careful and thoughtful how you do that to our customers. Because again, they trust us with the money, and you want to be sure you don't violate that trust. On the second question, I think was believe the question about diversification. Is that was that correct? Did I capture that? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Other revenue streams.
Well, let me say this: we will not become a corporate bank or a wholesale bank. Let me say that for sure. So, in that spectrum, you should say what is diversification. A few things. I think we have the advantage to be behind with the having sufficient products for our four platforms. Regiobank, SNS, BGL, I always pronounce that wrong, and ASN. So we have an opportunity to diversify product-wise and also distribution-wise to our platforms. Secondly, there's an opportunity more in the small, medium business where we really can grow the market under a certain amount. That's where we see diversification possible and already see promising results. But again, there are initial results. We have to boost our effort to speed that up. Did I answer your questions?
Yeah, that's clear. Thank you very much.
And I hope, to everybody on the phone, I hope at a later point in time to either shake your feet or your hand, probably more it will be the feet, it's more appropriate, COVID appropriate, face to face.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, everybody. So thank you, Maurice, for all your good work and good strategy, and welcome to Martin. Yeah, I've got a couple of questions also on net interest income. The first one, I was wondering if you could maybe quantify a little bit, at least you know, provide a range on the NII pressure you referred to. You use a considerable or insignificant, I'm not sure, but just wondering if you could put that in a bit of or put a small range to guide us a bit on that. I was also wondering if where is your front book margin on the mortgages currently versus the back book margin? And could you talk about the pressure you expect on the mortgage side? Is that because of kind of the over liquidity which is on the market currently? Also banks going for or trying to recover market share, or is that still the kind of non-banking / insurance companies putting pressure on the margins? Then the second question is on the negative rate. I was wondering if you could give us a bit of an idea if you have clients with more than 100,000 euros at the Volksbank, or whether that's really marginal. And then finally, you got a lot of deposits, obviously, recently, and we have to put the cash somewhere, and I was trying to understand where you put this cash. Which is coming in, whether you put that back at ECB and that's a drag on NII, or you can find opportunities to redeploy this cash somewhere. Thank you.
Okay. To start with the pressure on the mortgage side, and to also then answer your front book margin, the margins on the mortgages itself are, of course, slightly higher than the net interest margin of the bank. Reflecting the negative margin we make on saving deposits. It's always a matter of how do you transfer price those things. However, the difference is not that much. The characteristics of the mortgage market are as such that in the first half of 2020, commercial banks in total have seen their market share reducing. And that is a reflection of the non-banks' institutional investment from domestic and international investors. They have, as you know, a preference for longer maturities, which traditionally are not the core competence of banks, and especially a retail bank like the Volksbank. With a liability side of the balance sheet with a very short-term characteristic of its duration. So we have to, I've explained it in the past, we have to model behavior. We have to increase the duration of sight deposits because people tend to leave the money at the bank. And we have to reduce through behaviors the duration on the mortgage side, as we have now also seen in the first half, because people move much faster from one to the other. That helps, but still there is a huge duration difference between the assets and liabilities, which we have to manage. And that management comes with interest rate derivatives. And there the impact is related to the yield curve and all elements that come with it. And the overall impact of all these movements put pressure on the margins, and we don't expect that to stop. It's a gradual process coming with the repricing of the mortgage portfolio, which is a constant process. it comes with the longer, the low for long, low interest rates, and it comes now increasingly with the growth of sight deposits. It's manageable, clear, but also given the answer I gave to Cor, we're talking about several tens of millions of incidental income, which basically eat into the future income of the bank because you bring future income forward. Personally, I would not appreciate that, but that's the way the accounting rules work. So there's a constant negative impact on the net interest income, which is, I would say, I haven't made the calculation, a few percentage points per year now. And we need to find ways to counterattack that either through growth, which is a very large part of our strategy, or along the lines of the answer Martijn just gave. As far as large deposits, it is 1.2 billion roughly. So our decision to go for negative interest rates above 1 million will roughly lead to an additional interest income of 4 million a year. And what's left is indeed either used in the treasury not to take trading positions, but to let's say take positions in arbitrage opportunities, which incidentally arise. And what's left is put at the ECB. We did not make use of the TLTRO. Other banks did, we did not. Of course, we reconsider that every quarter. But we didn't do that because we are already so very liquid. So what's left is set at the ECB. I hope this answers your questions.
Yeah, you know, this is extremely useful. Just coming back on the prepayment penalty, I think this is 30 million in H1, is that correct? 3-0?
Yeah.
And how will that come down going forward? Will that go kind of to zero in next year, or will are we going to keep a bit of contribution on the top line from the prepayment penalty?
Well, this is of course client behavior and market trend, which you try to forecast at best way possible. I think we surpassed already the amount that we had put in our plan for this year in the first half. It won't go to zero, but it will most likely drop because we do see the first signs of that already. There will always be some amount related to it, but I expect in the coming second half next year that it will level to, let's say, the more standard levels. But what the exact amount is, I don't know.
Well,
Martijn wants to add something.
Yeah, just one remark. Yeah. Yes, it's, you know, profit-wise, and Maurice already shared that, it's profit-wise may be nice, but again, long-term, it's not what you want. So again, that goes back to finding other profit pools, either by optimizing your existing platforms or finding other profit pools. And that's part of the strategy we're looking for.
Given your background on, I think you spent many years on the insurance side, do you think insurance income could be a contributor, or do you think, because I know you have now this JV with NN. Do you think insurance could be a significant contributor?
Well, we're already seeing an uptick there. We just started that and we're revisiting it. We see a startup as insurance as part of our product diversification. But for a bank, you know, it will never be the major part. I worked also at the bank side and the insurance side many times. It will be. It is an important way for us to diversify. It will never be, you know, beat our interest margin, let me say it that way, compensate for the interest margin decline. So we need, again, so it's nice to have prepayments short term from a profit perspective. Long term is not what you want. Did I say that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the challenge is at our side to figure out a different solution for that.
Great, thank you very much again.
Our next question is from Mr. Samir Adasia of Citibank London. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hi, hello everyone. Thank you for the call. Hope you and your team are doing well.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions and just want to touch on a point you mentioned earlier. Firstly, can you give us your guidance for cost of risk for the whole year? Secondly, on your stats on payment deferrals, what I see is you give them more number of customers rather than a percentage of your loan book. So do you mind sharing that? And then specifically for your SME book, do you mind sharing what percentage of deferrals you see there? And in terms of your loan book sensitivity to the crisis, can you share this as a percentage of your SME book on what you deem as highly sensitive and as a percentage of your overall book? And then finally, I notice on your report you allude to 1.5 to 2 billion of non-preferred senior issuance to full year 24. And if I'm correct, you hadn't issued in this format yet. So therefore, would you be potentially looking to issue in this format this year? And then on the point earlier you made on TLTRO, you said you haven't used the opportunity to access it, but I guess given you can potentially, you know, minus 100 basis points and repost at the ECB at 50 basis points, doesn't it make sense to utilize the subsidy to help with your NII pressures? Thank you.
To start with the last question, yes, you're absolutely right. At the same time, we also really came to the conclusion that at that point in time, managing our liquidity in itself didn't really lead to the conclusion to subscribe. We will assess that every quarter. It's a difficult element. It's not meant to be used opportunistically. On the other side, you only have to adhere to one rule, which is a growth in your commercial assets by a minimum of 1 euro. That should be doable. So most likely we will reconsider our decision at a later point in time. Guidance for the cost of risk second half of the year. Well, the way IFRS 9 works is that if the macroeconomic scenario stays what it is, these impairments stay what they are. So then it's roughly zero around the numbers that we had indicated earlier on, where we've even seen a release in the past. So the answer to your question is basically linked to the question, what do you think the macroeconomic scenario development will be? I might have a personal opinion about that, but that's not how we draft our macroeconomic scenarios. But I dare to say that it is not impossible that over time, during the first few years of the aftermath of the COVID crisis, which of course is not even behind us, a further pessimistic development of macroeconomic scenarios will be a realistic assumption. And once that happens, in line with that scenario, we will see some impairment charges going up. We've indicated that a 100% down scenario, which is then quite extreme, would trigger an additional provision of 50 million. So yeah, somewhere between 0 and 50.
And then just on that cost of risk, obviously I noticed it was 18 basis points for the first half of the year. So under your baseline scenario, what's your full year guidance for cost of risk in basis points?
Lower than 18 basis
points. Lower than 18, if it's zero, if we get to that number of zero. But again, yeah, those cost of risk numbers, I'm still a bit old fashioned. You have to read them differently than in the past, because in the past it was a sort of continuous cost of risk number of basis points that reflected the development in the portfolio. Under IFRS 9, the numbers get a different meaning because you take the impact over the future immediately. So lower than 18, that's for sure, but all depending on the macroeconomic scenario. Then you asked a few questions about SME. On the SME side, it's roughly 15% of the total portfolio where we have agreed a payment holiday. But I think you're familiar with the fact that our total portfolio is somewhat below 1 billion. It will grow over time. That's the strategic intention. Not diversifying versus commercial banking, corporate banking, but within the constraints of SME, it will grow. But for the moment, it is not the largest part of our balance sheet, to put it mildly. In all fairness, I couldn't follow your second question. Can you please repeat that?
So thank you for that on your SME book. In terms of your overall loan book, what percentage of that is under moratoria? And then finally, on your report, I noticed you highlight your guidance on non-preferred senior issuance, and would you consider issuing this year?
Regarding the payment holidays we give on our different loan categories, it is, the numbers are included in our financial press release on page 18 and 19. I think we disclose them even by stage. So for the retail mortgages, it's combined, it's a little less than 400.
And Casper, are you by any chance familiar with our issuance schedule?
I think.
Or
come back.
We'll come back to that, but I think for the second half of this year, our plans are rather modest.
Yeah.
I don't expect to see much activity from our side in regarding the 1.5-2 billion we flagged for the years going forward.
Okay.
That's very clear.
All right, Samir, thank you for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions or remarks, you can still press star 1 on your telephone. Star 1 for questions or remarks. Go ahead, please. We have no further questions, sir. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you very much. We do believe that from time to time, running a monoline business model comes with challenges, but it sometimes also shows its strength. And we believe that during the first half of 2020, we've shown a total result which is robust and which we're happy with. I've always appreciated the professional way of dealing with you, and I sincerely wish Martijn, as I said before, lots of success, and I'm sure he will continue the good working relationship with you. Thank you all for calling in, and have a nice day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the follow-up.